You're listening to the audio production of The Wondering Years, How Pop Culture Helped Me Understand Life's Biggest Questions by Knox McCoy, published by Thomas Nelson and read by the author.
For Roe, Sidigrei, and Marlowe, in all the fictional worlds I visited, the one I share here with you is my most favorite. On introductions. I gotta say, as a society, we've really lost our way when it comes to introductions. It's all lead-bearing in the transfer of non-essential information. A typical introduction goes something like, "Hello, I'm Dwayne. I work in IT. Think about that. What do we know about Dwayne now? Basically, his name and his job? Two things that 92% of Americans report being dissatisfied with. That's actually not a real stat, but it feels like a real stat, doesn't it? And I'm going to admit something to you that I have no idea what IT even means. Something about technology, or computers probably? Intrepid Technologer? Illuminati Task Force? I don't know. Sure, I could Google it and find out, but that would take effort, and I just don't care that much, which is the essence of modern-day introductions. No one cares that much. You know who does introductions right? People on Game of Thrones. Specifically the show's central figure, Daenerys Targaryen. Listen to the impression she makes with her title. Daenerys Stormborn of the House Targaryen, first of her name, the Unburnt, Queen of the Andals and the First Men, Khaleesi of the Great Grass Sea, Breaker of Chains, and Mother of Dragons. That is such a satisfying introduction, it should probably come with a cigarette. We get a lot of stuff we can figure out. Example, she probably can't be burnt, I'm assuming? As well as some stuff we need more info on. So, Daenerys, tell me more about these dragons, you mother. What's their thing? Like, what are they about? Bottom line, it's a great introduction because it entertains, informs, and gives tons of material regarding who she is and what she's about. Quite a bit better than Dwayne from IT, right? Let's look at another great introduction, the theme song of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It is sonically pleasing, and it provides the foundational context of the show. In the span of a couple minutes, we get the following info. Will grew up and came to physical maturity in West Philadelphia. There, he was often found spending his days on the playground. This was the setting for one skirmish with such ominous forebodings that his mother feared for Will's safety. Therefore, she put him in a taxi cab and sent him from Philadelphia to Bel-Air. Does it matter that the cab ride would have meant Will rode approximately 2,750 miles? It's called suspension of disbelief, you guys. That's an entire origin story delivered concisely, delightfully, and expertly by the lead character. It only makes sense that you'd want to watch the episode to follow. One last example of introductions done well, The Lion King. As far as I'm concerned, it's the piece de resistance of introductions. We're introduced to the setting of Pride Rock with a broad lyrical rumination of how we are all very much connected through an Elton John song, which, I think we can all agree, is the most obvious vehicle for rumination like that. And the central message of this lyrical sequence is thematically crucial. It's important that the viewer buy into this idea of connection and how circular the circle of life is, because all the animals in the movie already fully embrace the idea. As the movie begins, we're introduced to all the animals traveling to Pride Rock, where their Lion King, Mufasa, lives with his royal family. Everyone is really feeling the celebratory vibe, and Rafiki, the shaman monkey character, walks through the crowd and bear hugs, monkey hugs, Mufasa, like they are BFFs, despite probably not being naturally simpatico in the wild. I can't authoritatively say that monkeys and lions are adversaries in the wild, but if I had to guess, I would say that they probably aren't allies, final answer Regis. But because of Elton's song, we remember the circle of life thing, so it's fine, we go with it. Next, we realize the animals are celebrating the birth of Mufasa's son, Simba, the future king of Pride Rock. Here's where things get crazy. Rafiki presents Simba to the gathered animals, and they lose it. These animals are for real acting like Oprah just gave them a car or something. The monkeys act like they freebase illegal stimulants, the antelopes are going bonkers supreme, and the giraffes literally cannot even with all this lion cub cuteness. These animals are handling this situation like white people would handle a 75% off sale at Pottery Barn. I say would handle because Pottery Barn actually never offers any kind of significant discount. They just make you stare down the reality that, like it or not, you will pay $129 for a table runner, and there's nothing you can do about it. We can all agree that this atmosphere is a little incredible, right? Rafiki is honoring the apex predator that feeds on these animals, Mufasa, by presenting the next apex predator legacy monster, Simba, who will not only feed on some of these very animals that are present, but also probably the children and grandchildren of those animals. Imagine knowing that your current boss's son, no matter what, will eventually lord over you just because of the circle of employment. Could you conjure up that kind of enthusiasm for your boss's son? I'm telling you right now that I super could not. Anyway.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?